Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. There's Sarah over there.
That certainly is.
And of course, there's Chris.
Hello again.
It's a pleasure to be back with you all after a well-earned break. Now, from childhood to adulthood, our behaviours and characteristics can be subject to change. Some of the things we do can be commendable in those times, while others might need some work. Today, we're answering this question. What do you wish you didn't do?
I wish I had a better off switch. And what I mean by that is I wish I could not eat a whole bag of crisps.
Yeah.
A big one. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wish that I could moderate things. I wish I could just go, right, just half a bar of chocolate. But I think once I start these things, I have to finish them. I think I am quite all or nothing. Mm. And that, I know that drives my wife insane, because she's like, why didn't you share those crisps? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I just wanted them all. So do you know what I mean? Like, I wish I could moderate. I wish I could be like, no, I'm totally good. And I'm the same with my fitness as well. Like, I'll be really good for a week and then not do it for a month. It's just like, well, I just can't. I'd be more consistent and have a semblance of balance.
I think
it's really interesting. Go on, Marcus.
Okay, I think the listeners will perhaps relate, without putting words and ideas in their mouths and heads. I think immediately when you talk about those things, I'm focusing on the crisps rather than the exercise. Mm-hmm. And I think that the day in which, and when was it, perhaps in the 90s, when suddenly those big American-style bags of crisps were everywhere in the supermarket.
They call them sharers, but we don't share.
Sharing bags.
Not for sharing.
We never, when I grew up, we never had any of that. Exactly. Yeah. It was you could buy a bag of crisps, and there would be individual packets. And with individual packets, you can eat one of them very swiftly, and that's it. And you know that's it. Because to then open another bag, you're hardwired not to do that. Whereas the big share, when you think, well, they're there for the taking. Yeah. And I think that the crisp industry should...
Big crisp.
Exactly. Crisp industry needs to help out Chris.
Yeah.
Crisps needs to help Chris.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've done this podcast. As you can see, I'm rusty, everybody.
We got that.
I'm getting better. Like, I, you know, years ago, I used to have a bit of a drink problem as well. And, you know, because I think it just impacted on most areas.
Were you a binge, do you think?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
I was probably a binger.
I'm trying to think and also realize that there's a recording, so you have to think externally when you're doing these shows, don't you? I just think it was part of the all or nothing character trait, and then I realized it really wasn't good for me. As where crisps, you're a bit like, oh, that I feel, you know, my mouth feels awful for 24 hours, but then you're fine again. As where with alcohol, it had a
life feels
impact.
Awful.
Do you know what? Right, the worst crisp binge I've ever had was. And I think you might have been there, Chris, although I hit
it. Witness this.
Yeah, it was at a friend's of ours stag do that we were both on. And it was during lockdown. And as a result, the best we could do was really sort of sit in his garden for a bit. It was a very low-key stag, so we couldn't go anywhere. But it was a good laugh. But anyway, we were meant to go to the pub, socially distanced and all that stuff. And I hadn't eaten that day, or maybe I'd had an early lunch. And it was a bad idea. And he just kept piling on the crisps. And I was like, oh, these are good crisps. And I just kept smashing them back. And I probably ate a bag and a half, two bags maybe in total of those sharing bags that day. And I tell you something, and take it from me, crisp fans, I felt dreadful. Like, my stomach was like it was going to expand and explode. Mm. It was an awful, awful feeling. So do not do it.
There's been so much salt going into your body and...
Yeah.
Oh.
It's when you see them as a replacement meal, isn't it? And that's what you've done. You've gone, and then you're like, well, it's not chocolate.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know, with chocolate, I think there's a more of a limit. But with crisps, you're just like, I'll keep going.
Yeah.
And then in my head, I'm like, well, it's potato. It's fine.
Yeah, your body with chocolate goes, enough. When, if you ever get to that point with chocolate and your body goes, enough, it's awful.
Yeah, or it's really nasty.
Yeah, you should be ashamed of yourself as well, because you think, I've let my body down, I've let my wife down, although I haven't done it since I've been married, thank goodness, I've learned. Sarah, what do you wish that you, what do you wish you didn't do?
Do you want a serious one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I wish, and it will kind of, I'll sort of wrap them all into one. I wish I didn't worry so much and catastrophize so much and feel guilty so much.
I think that's a big one for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people listening will feel this as well. Just worrying. I mean, we've done a show on it quite a long time ago now, haven't we? About why do we worry?
Our first season, yeah.
Yeah, for some people, like myself, I would definitely say I'm one of these people. I just do it too much. I think a little bit of worry is normal and natural and helps us to kind of, you know, keep on top of life. Like if you just didn't worry about a single thing, I think you end up, you know, in a tricky place as well. But worrying all the time can really kind of...
What do you worry about, if you don't mind me asking?
Honestly, everything. From, oh my goodness, what if...
Zombie.
I've got a brain tumour.
Oh.
So you get a headache and you're like, that could be a brain tumour. Like, you'll just go there.
Yeah.
Oh, or so like, you're a hypochondriac. This is hypochondriac kind of stuff.
No. But as in, like, I don't actually... It's not that I actually think I've got it. It's more that I'm like, oh no, and then I'll have to do this. Oh no, I have to tell my family this. And da 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 da.
So you're creating negative. You're creating the sort of the negative scenario in your head.
Yes, going down that total catastrophe path. Like, oh, like I've sent a message to someone, and they suddenly go, oh my god, what if they've misunderstood it? What if they actually think I was being really rude? And oh my god, and they don't want to be a friend of me anymore. And, and you just kind of go right the way down this mad catastrophic path.
Yeah,
which is not good.
Yeah, but I often say if friends of mine do that, and they go, I said, but do you actually think that? Do you honestly think?
No,
that's the case.
No, you know when you're in the rational bit of your brain.
Yeah. You've got to reach out to it, though. You've got to find it.
You've got to get the brain.
Search for the rational inside your head, exactly. As the song said.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, exactly. But, yeah, I really wish I didn't do that. And I've definitely got better over the years.
I was going to ask you that. Has it got better? Has it got worse? Is it just this constantly worry for your whole life? But like, are you getting, like, can you recognise when you're doing it and then put in your systems to kind of mitigate that?
That's the way. Yeah.
I think that's the thing that has changed over the years is I can now sort of spot when it's happening. You know, you can almost sort of step outside yourself and go, I can see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right, time to break into that sort of weird cycle or spiral that you're in, and you learn ways to do that, ways to spot it. Like I had a bit of counseling that really helped me to kind of see what was happening and break into it. Not always, but yeah, I definitely think, you know, it's not something you have to just have at 100% forever at all, but definitely. I also, it's one of those classic things of, you know, when you're like maybe you've been a bit stressed about like work or something, or you've not been sleeping well or eating well or something. You put yourself in a position where you're much more vulnerable to that kind of thinking.
Yeah.
So I, sometimes
when
it's like
tired, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes it's I know I'm worrying loads. Also, I have only been having four hours sleep a night for the past few nights, so I should probably sort that out. And miraculously, you feel better when you actually get enough sleep. Sorry to you two, both have small children.
Yeah, no, but you can still get more than 4 hours a night, though, even with small children.
Exactly.
It is possible.
So what do you do then to mitigate that worry? So like, as you said, like there's certain things you stepped out yourself, you've looked at yourself and you've gone, have a word with yourself, Sarah. And then you've gone, what would you do then to kind of...
So one of the big things that I've learned about, and I think this has its base in cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, which a lot of, you know, and I'm no expert, so please, this is not any kind of expert advice. But one of the things that I learned through that was to try and categorize those worries. Is this something I can actually do something about? It sounds obvious, but so if I'm going, oh my God, I think I've got a brain tumor. Okay, right. Is it right? You're having recurring headaches. You probably need to go and speak to your GP about that. You probably need to get your eyes tested, don't you? That's something I can do something about. So then write your list of things you need to do. Do the things. If it's something you can't do anything about, a good example is, oh my God, what if the plane I'm on crashes? Well, what can I do about that? I'm on the plane now, aren't I? So you've kind of just got to put it to one side.
No. Well, what trivial stuff? Do you worry about trivial stuff that like would make people... Go on then. So,
I'm trying to think of an example now. Trivial stuff.
Like if you're eating something, then you might think, people...
So it's more that I would get like a really irrational fear. So for example, I suddenly... now that I'm saying it, I sound so...
Come on.
Mad. I was trying to scrape the last bit of peanut butter out the jar, right? This glass jar of peanut butter.
this is the actual phobia for peanut butter getting stuck in your mouth.
Still love the peanut butter, but I suddenly had this fear because of the way the knife scraped the jar. I was like, oh my God, have I like chipped a bit of glass off and I'm going to eat some glass in my peanut butter and it's going to cut open my insides and I'm going to bleed to death and no one's going to know what happened to me because nobody knows I ate a bit of glass in my peanut butter. How insane is that?
That is massively
pretty
insane.
Yeah.
Welcome to my brain.
Yeah.
But
that's a hard place to be. You need a lot of hugs in life, don't you?
No.
Presumably, you
if anyone sees Sarah,
butter.
Give her a hug. So you have a hard time.
Presumably, you ate the peanut butter.
I still ate it because I love it. I love my peanut butter.
Right, because so clearly, you're still here. None of that happened. And you didn't really think it would happen, as you said.
No, no, I didn't. But your brain is off on its own little fun journey.
What I wish I didn't do was get so bored reading books. I'm terrible at reading books. I really am. I don't like when people sort of say, oh, what was the last book you read? I'm like, I don't know. I really,
if you're on holiday,
no, boring, rubbish.
Really?
But do you start them and you go, this is fine, and then you just go, oh, I can't be bothered?
No, but the thing is, I like the idea of it. I'll look at a book and the cover and I'll read the blurb and all that. And I go, oh, I've got to get stuck into this. I think this is brilliant. And then I sort of start reading. I lose interest because I think people, and I have done this when you read a book and you get completely immersed in it. Mm. That's what obviously people like, and that I think genuinely that's a wonderful thing. I'm not reveling in my, I don't know.
You wish you didn't do it.
Well, that's what
we're talking about.
I've set my stall out, Sarah. I wish I didn't do this. So you get immersed in it, and that has happened on the odd occasion over the years. But I think. So you're talking about being irrational. Mm. I think I rationalize reading too much because I think, well, how long is it going to take me to read that book? How much information am I going to retain from it? Because I draw the line at novels. I'm not really interested in that.
Really?
So yeah, I can't be asked. So I think
you do biographies, I'm guessing.
Autobiographies or books based on sort of facts or the book equivalent of a documentary.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I get that.
Some might say the original documentary.
Could be.
Document.
Exactly, Sarah. So, a historical book, something like that. Mm. Geographical book, whatever. And I think to myself, do you know what? You read a book like that, you will not... I would hardly remember any of it. Whereas I like reading news articles, and I do like reading a lot of news articles. I read.
You like a little short something.
Exactly, because I can retain that, and I go, yeah, I've got the hit that I want. And actually, I've learned a lot. Whereas it's a bit like there's a particular sports publication, which I won't name, and their articles are probably twice the length of your average, and it's so unnecessary most of the time.
Mm.
I just think you're just padding all this stuff out. Now, that's obviously not the same with books, but you do get the odd article where you think, yeah, I just, because of that, I'm trying hard to retain stuff. And I like retaining, information. And I think with a book, I sort of go, oh, yeah, but I sit down. And also another thing was when you say, for example, on holiday, well, if I'm on holiday, if I'm reading a book, well, I'm not taking in the sights and the sounds and everything where I am. And I'd love that. I'd rather sort of walk around the block and see what's going on or potentially chat to someone or whatever. And so, therefore, I sort of rationalise it too much and go, yeah, I don't think it's worth it.
You massively overthink it, don't you?
Yeah.
Would you say this is right of you, that you would use information as a source of connection?
I use it as a weapon, Chris. Yeah.
As every good dictator should. But like you like connecting with people. You love chatting to people. So you'd like to know a little bit about a lot of things.
Yeah,
so
that's definitely
true. Actually, therefore, you're like, hey, I know a bit about this, but actually I want to engage in a conversation. I want to use that as a source of connection.
Yeah.
I don't need to tell you all the facts and details of this. I'm actually not bothered about that. I want connection.
And you're absolutely right, because then the way I would get information is asking people, oh, well, that's your given subject, tell me.
You'll remember that.
I didn't have to.
So for you, you'd also probably remember more the information from a conversation than you would
do
chapter 12 of a book.
Yeah, so obviously, I mean, I sort of joke around when I go, it's boring, can't we? As I say, I don't want to sort of sound all sort of reveling in ignorance or whatever. But I do wish that I read yeah, I wish I didn't put down books so easily, because I do have some books which I've read bits and pieces of, and books are a wonderful thing. Walking around a library, there's a library in central London near, where would it be, Goodge Street or Tottenham Court Road or some, I forget exactly where. And it's an enormous
Tottenham
one.
Tottenham Court Road one.
And I went around it not that long ago, and I just thought, this is just wonderful. Mm. Like when all you have, it's a bit like classical music. I'm not particularly into classical music, but if it's on, it never sounds bad. And I just think, considering the advances in music and all the different styles and blah, 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 this stuff is still here. Mm. And I think with books and libraries and all that, I'm just so glad I would, you know, because you know what happens when people try to get rid of them, don't we?
Oh, okay. Dear. I've actually got one slightly related to yours, Marcus.
Go on.
So I wish that I did some more reading.
Uh-huh.
Right before bed and didn't go on my phone.
Because I
love novels. When I get into reading them, I am that person who's, you know, turning the page. I love it. And every scientific study on sleep out there says do not go on your phone straight before bed. It is bad. And nearly all of them say try something relaxing, like, I don't know, reading a book. And when I do it, of course my sleep is better. Of course I get to sleep more quickly. Great. And yet I still persist in scrolling through a bit of Instagram right before I go to sleep. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Have you got the red light on your phone instead of the blue light?
All that stuff.
Just take the edge off it.
Just.
I love the way you're encouraging her to carry on scrolling there, Mark.
Yeah, so not to put the book down.
I just, it's the damage limitation, you know? What about a Kindle? You get to, well, you don't, well, I suppose you scroll in a
No,
way,
no, no, Kindle's okay. Because like I've got one without the backlight. So it's the whole thing is, you know, it's the light and the stimulation.
Whereas
reading something is, you know, more sedate.
You're after the dopamine hit of social media, aren't you? That's what you want.
I hate it about myself. I hate it.
Well, it's funny actually, because another thing that I wish I didn't think everything to do with social media, new media, YouTube, all that kind of stuff. I wish that I didn't think it was all crap and ultimately the dumbing down that we spoke about in the 90s that was coming. I wish I didn't think that, because
it would be TV.
Oh, yeah. I know.
They said TV was going to rot our brains.
Yeah.
Well, now look.
Now look at them. Now look at television as the beacon of hope. It is the thing
that brings families together.
Instead of keeps those gray cells bouncing around our brains. I'm a lot better. I'm a lot better than I used to be. And it's not a case of, oh, I wish I liked YouTubers and influencers and all that kind of stuff. No, because you can happily. But I wish that I didn't think it was all just like horrifically crap and pointless, and we would be better off without them, because ultimately they're here. All that stuff is here.
They're not going to go.
Yeah. Whether you engage in it or not is a different matter. And like I say, I'm a lot better than what I was. But I honestly sort of look at it and just go, what a load of nonsense. Mm. I'm not saying I wish I liked it. Just saying that my journey with this, as I say, I am better.
Does it irritate you? Is that the thing? You just wish you weren't irritated by it?
I think it has no value, I think.
Mm.
And I think that those, and this is, but this is where I suppose I go wrong, is that I think people who, I don't think the people have no value, for crying out loud. Let me make that absolutely clear. But I'm saying that sometimes the kind of the influencers, the YouTubers, or whatever, I see what they do, and I just think there's no talent there, because I think in traditional, I still think a bit traditionally when it comes to media. I suppose I think presenting skills.
Those Big Brother contestants, they had real talent back in the day. Did you ever watch Big Brother and things? Because back when we were younger, I wonder if... Yeah. Oh, I knew you wouldn't. As I said, when we were younger, we had our different influences. And I just wonder if it's an age thing.
Yeah, of course it's an age thing. That's what I mean. I'm getting old now, for crying out loud, you know, compared to...
Still handsome, Marcus.
Wow. Please. That is a characteristic that I have very much kept throughout my life.
You're not arguing that... I feel like so in the...
I'm looking at myself.
In the spirit of the show, you're not trying to convince us that everything's crap. You're saying you wish you didn't find it so... I get the impression you're saying it's kind of... You find it viscerally. You just have that response and you wish it wasn't so strong.
Yeah, and I have sort of worked on that. Because if I see something and I think, oh, there's that, there's a particular YouTuber influencer, and there they are doing that thing, or presenting something, or doing some sort of documentary or whatever. And I just think, yeah, they've got very little talent, but 3 million people seem to disagree with me.
Mm.
And actually, what you don't want is, and I suppose this is kind of, yeah, I wish I didn't think so sort of strongly, but like I say, I've come down a lot. It's not because, as I say, I want to like it. It's because you've got to kind of move and groove with the times.
Are you faced with it quite a bit in your sort of industry then? In terms of like, I mean, because that sort of thing wouldn't even come into my mind because it's not the sector I work in. But like, do you come across things, and that's maybe where you're a bit like, you have more exposure to that.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. Like, I don't find it sort of personally offensive. Do you know what I mean? It's not like that. I just think, oh yeah, that's nothing. And so therefore, I was once advised in what I do, you should get yourself on TikTok, for example. You should sort of present and do that. And I just died inside, and I was just a bit like, what are you talking about? But that again,
can you imagine Marcus doing a little TikTok dance?
Honestly, I think he'd go viral. I think he'd go viral.
But the thing is, though, like, I might have to, again, I wish I didn't think that. Because in 6 months' time or a year's time, I might have to go, actually, you know, you're absolutely right. And then I do it and I like it.
Yeah.
Or I do it and it leads to something. Or maybe it's just a little hobby that I like doing. So it's kind of, I suppose it's stubbornness, really. I mean, I know a lot of this stuff is, but that's what it is. It's trying to move with the times, especially in an industry which is changing all the time.
Yeah.
But like
that might be why it's irritating, because you're just like, oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Why can't we just have MySpace and be happy?
What about you, Chris? Anything?
I really wish I could be more positive and joyful about certain things that are new. Mm-hmm. I've just read a book on the brain and how important joy is to our brain in the development of things. And so an example would be, obviously, in my sector, so for those who don't know, I'm a vicar. And I was away on a meeting today, and they were planning Easter, and I get an email saying there's going to be a real donkey in the church at Easter. And I'm just, my first reaction is like, oh no. Yeah. But actually, when I step back, I'm like, that'll be quite fun. Especially if it goes chaos, if it's like chaos, that would be fun.
You love the chaos. You thrive on it.
Kids will love it. Families will love it. Like, if it goes well, that'll be brilliant. If it goes bad, it'll be brilliant. Like, but my initial reaction is like,
yeah.
Oh. But then, Chris, I just wish I was a bit more like, hey, straight away, that's an amazing idea. This is fun.
But if it's a mountain goat as well, you could turn around and like, where is it? Oh my God, how did it get up in the church rafters?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I mean,
they just get everywhere, don't they?
They do.
I don't know how they do it, but they do.
Maybe that's a whole show where we do a documentary. How did they get the goat down? I think I wish sometimes my initial reaction was more positive. I'm quite good at stepping back, but I'm a bit like, can't we just do nothing? Do you know what I mean? But like, I don't mind just being tired or overwhelmed. I don't know. But like, I just wish I was more joyful.
It's tiredness. I think a lot of it is like, as soon as someone says, let's do this thing, you're like, oh, I've already got 500 things on my plate. And then once you actually stop, take a step back and think about it, you go, of course, that'd be amazing. I'd love to. But your immediate response is always like, oh, not another thing.
It's like my 40th birthday is looming, guys. Mm. And so 2 nights ago, my wife's like, oh, you need to think of what to do. It's like a couple of months off now. I was just like, oh, really? Can't, like, even that, I should be happy, joyful. You know, Marcus and I, we've kind of banded ideas around. And I'm just like, oh, even that, I'm like, oh, can I just have a barbecue or something? Like, you know.
Can't someone do it for me?
Yeah, exactly. Can't someone pick all the food and make sure it's the food that I want, but I don't have to say I want.
But you realize how rich people then become like the way they are with these sort of bratty kind of rich kid celebrities or whatever, because they go, can someone else do? Oh, they can.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you become a knob.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Watch out, Chris, because we don't want that for you.
Don't become a knob. Just be more joyful. So I think it's that. The reason I want that more is because as I said, I've just read this brilliant book on the brain, and it's like, the thing that you like, there's 4 things our brains need to thrive so that we can you know, do better at life, and the number one thing is joy. We're like wired from childhood to look for joy in the face of our parents. Like that's what children do, but little kids, you know.
Yeah,
I've got one, like, they look for joy in your face. And then when you find joy in the face of somebody There's a guy as a lecturer in Yale, and he says true joy is found in the face of somebody who's happy to be with you. So do you remember, like, when you go like on the best ever date, and like it's vibing, you can see the person who's just so happy to be on this date with you. Or, you know, Marcus, like, you know, you've done well, Marcus, you know, you've done lots of comedy and stuff. Like, you're when you make people laugh, they are like, you just see they're joyful, they're happy to be with you. You can see it on their face. So like, then when you do that, then that helps to form loving connection and loving connection, all that stuff. Anyway, there's a real value. Our brains are wired for joy. So I'm a bit like, oh. And I read that and I was like, oh, now I've got to work on joy.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? You're absolutely right. Joy is incredibly important. But to kind of flip that and shove it the other way too far is one thing I wish I didn't do was be a bit of a people pleaser at times.
Okay.
Ooh. And that, because sometimes I think, why didn't I speak up there? Because I wanted to keep them happy, and now I didn't say what I wanted to do, and now it's festering. And that's, sometimes the other person has no idea. And then, of course, if it builds up and builds up, and then you go for it, they kind of go, whoa, where's this coming from? Sometimes the other person does know. And I think, you know what, I'll be a good egg about this, and I'll keep shtum, or I'll be a bit of people pleaser, and then that's not reciprocated, and you think, okay, and then again it just festers and festers, and it builds up, and it's just not a good thing. Yeah, there are times when you have to hold your tongue. There are times when you have to swallow your pride. Absolutely.
So would you say you do that quite a lot? Because I just think you're quite a considered person, as in like you're going to measure the situation. Or are you like, yeah, I do, but I also know I probably should say something a bit more. I'm too measured in a way.
Yeah, I think that's probably it. I mean, these are very few and far between examples, but I know it happens. I would go that way rather than the other way, because some people, if they complain, I don't know, like if you... Like, there was an occasion when my dear wife and I, a couple of years ago, we were staying in a hotel, and we were woken up because there was water pouring through the light socket where the hanging light was, and it was coming out the ceiling of the bathroom ceiling and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, checkout wasn't for another hour and a half, but we were like, oh, we've just woken up. Some of our stuff is a little bit wet because of this. You know, I should go down there and go in. I don't want to be a knob about it. Some people would go both barrels. And I would think, well, actually,
no,
don't go both.
That.
No, I don't think there's any need for that, because the person on reception hasn't gone and made sure that that's, you know, oh, this will get them wet, you know. So, if you pardon the expression. But I think if, but you know, but I would go down there and I think, well, nobody meant for this to happen. He, you know, the guy on the reception or the girl, they seem all right. And, you know, sorry to be an inconvenience. And I go too far that other way. Whereas actually, it's kind of like, well, that's piss poor. And actually, we should give, you know, or you've offered us 10% off our next purchase or next time we stay at this hotel. Mm. We're not going to stay at this hotel anymore.
Yeah.
Because of that. So I think, yeah, some people go too far the other way. But if you go too far the other way, you're more likely to get a proper discount or get some money back or something. Whereas if you go the other way, then you kind of just... And then you go off thinking, oh, we didn't get what we want, and you kind of a bit miffed.
But finding the middle ground there is hard. And especially, I think, you know...
It's tricky.
There's the old stereotype of British people, you know, apologising for everything and apologising if you bump into them and stuff. But... Like, as you say,
sorry, I got in the way of the dripping water.
I'm so sorry that all my things got ruined by the leak in the ceiling. Yeah. But also, like, as you say, there's a way to do it, which is the middle ground, and you don't have to go down there, scream at this receptionist, who then will be, you know, later that day, she'll be in floods of tears. You've ruined her day for, you know, there's a middle way, right?
Yeah, there is. And it's difficult to kind of hit the bullseye with that one, because, as I say, you tend to go sort of more one way or the other. But that's where sometimes, you know, if I'm in a conversation, which is, again, quite rare, I'll think, oh, no, I just want this to go away. I want you to just offer me and say, and you're not going
to
do it. Come on, be decent, you know? But there we are. Sometimes that happens. So, yes, maybe I just need to... I need to get more physical with people. I hear what you're saying,
probably
Sarah.
Need
I need to
punch
chin
more
a few people.
A couple of headbutts.
I wish you didn't abhor violence.
And what a great note to finish on, I think. Thank you very much. Damn my pacifism, as the old saying goes. Well, so there we are. I think we've got a few things there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening. I'm sure you've got many things of your own. It's good to be back, though.
The first show
of the new series in 2022. It is 2022, isn't it? Yes, World Cup year. Yes. That's how you remember it. But you see, the Euros last year has thrown me out of kilter. You know, Euro 2020 in Euro in 2021. I'll never make peace with that. There we are. If you want to get in touch with us, then we're on Twitter and Insta at AQQAPod. But until next week, thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks, Marcus.
Thanks very much, Chris.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, everybody. See you next week. Okay.